You know, today is actually considered the most depressing day of the year. It's true. Today is this date, January the, what is it, 15th? 18th. Is considered the most depressing day of the year, which is fitting because it's our podcast, which is usually pretty depressing.
I was pretty depressed coming in today.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah.
Weather?
I don't know.
Or just the fact you got to sit around a studio with me?
Yeah, no, this is actually going to be the best part of my day.
Oh, that's nice.
The weather, everything. Football's almost over. Mm-hmm. My back kind of hurts.
You got to work with Sid and Tim later.
Yeah,
on.
It's just, awful. You know.
Oof. I'm James Sharman. He's Thomas Dobby. It's not quite as depressing as it would be right now because there's no Brendan Dunlop, although apparently he's on his way.
Yeah, he's going to walk
again,
in any time. Yeah.
Like, it snows, and you think he'd consider that a reason to leave earlier. You know how the city works. He's not new to the city. What an idiot.
Didn't you say he was parking 15 minutes
ago? Yeah, 15 minutes. Was he parking?
I don't know.
Young and Egg?
I guess so. Walking down. So we'll go halfway, and then he'll join us, and we'll rip him for being late.
Yeah, thanks, Lars. He's looking for cheap parking.
Probably.
God. Anyway, we've got lots to get to today, obviously, and we'll try and make it as less depressing as possible. although, just before we went to air today, we had some serious nostalgia. Someone on Twitter, where is it here, posted a...
Poria Tahiri,
yeah. A throwback favorite of his. An old footy show annual end-of-year quiz from 2012. Mm. A classic edition. And we'll retweet it for a laugh anyway. I'll do it right now, actually.
Retweeted. Yeah, we started listening to the beginning. I was trying to figure out, I'm pretty sure Dunlop and I were already... gone to Sportsnet and came back because Will was, for that.
Really?
We didn't get far enough along when we listened to the first 3 or 4 minutes in the intro, but pretty sure.
Yeah, it must be. But it was a great addition, and it's major nostalgia. Almost 4 years ago. Well, I guess 3 years ago, but still a long time ago. It was great. Yeah. This course coming a week after Dobby won for the third straight year. The annual quiz.
Yeah.
Still feeling good about that?
Felt pretty good. I mean, it feels like a bit of a cheat. I just had to beat Dunlop, right? No, honestly, it was it was two-man game.
Well, not really two-man even. One and a half.
One and a half men, yeah. So.
It wasn't as challenging perhaps as others, but you did very well.
Thank you.
It was good. Anyway, listen, lots of games this weekend, and we were thinking about delaying this until after the Swansea-Watford game.
Oh, yeah.
We want to really sink our teeth into that game.
Not really going to serve the one person who listens to the podcast that's a Swansea or Watford fan, but...
If there's a Swansea or a Watford fan listening,
let us know.
At Thomas Dobby, at James Sharman.
We've gotten a lot of feedback over the years and even, you know, now, but I don't think I've ever encountered anybody who's told me flat out that they're a Swansea or Watford fan. Most other teams, I've gotten
it,
but...
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah.
I can't remember a Swansea or a Watford fan.
I don't think... Elton John's tweeted us before.
I don't think so either.
No, but let us know. Hopefully there's got to be a fan of every team at some point perusing this this podcast.
Yeah,
right?
You'd hope.
Yeah.
Do us a favor and show us that a couple people are listening and tweet us if you're a Swansea or Watford fan.
Do that, please.
Or if you're a fan of a team that's not any of the big six or seven, let us know.
We've got some questions actually as well on today's podcast.
Amazing.
From you, the listener. We very much appreciate that. Some great, some awful, like our good friend Ben Ennis of the Fan 590. Thought he'd be hilarious.
Just and so funny.
Oh, my word, Ben. Like on the floor, rolling around. My sides have actually split. Call an ambulance.
The haircut one's actually pretty good.
Yeah, where is it here? What's the longest stretch Dobby and Dunlop have gone without a haircut? 48 hours? You have got short hair.
Just pretty fresh.
How often?
2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. Yeah.
Really?
Pretty
How much
do
you pay for a haircut? It can't be much.
$8. With tip, 25.
Really?
It's 21, and with tip, I give 25.
Well, I pay 30.
And if I get my beard trimmed, if I do a beard trim, it's an extra 5. But I'm usually not too lazy.
It's always very close to the bone. Your hair.
Yeah.
Dunlop's got to be every other day though.
Pretty regular, I imagine.
He sculpts his hair too, right? I mean, every morning. He's late today because he spent the last hour in the mirror sculpting.
Does he do
the
Just for Men himself, or does someone else do that, do you think?
Well, that's part of the reason why he moved in with the girl, so she could take care of his hair.
Take care of it. It's getting pretty gray.
So thanks, Ben. That's a good question. The other, will the combined IQ in the room be over 70?
Not as funny, because that includes you.
Yep. Yeah,
that would mean that our IQs would be on average about 23 each, which I think is pretty low.
Yeah, pretty low. Pretty
if
low.
I had a better IQ, I'd know.
on that note, Ginger TFC tweets a question for the pod. What's stupider, footballers in short sleeves and gloves or Brendan Dassey? Have you seen Making a Murderer?
I have.
He is stupid.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, not the first Brendan to be called that. I ate a sweet potato last night that had a bigger IQ than Brendan Dassey. But you're right, the other Brendan's not much better, is he?
Brendan D is an idiot.
What a show, though, eh?
Crazy.
Kind of crazy.
Very good.
Although the more you read about it afterwards, it clouds it quite a bit, yeah, you might say.
No spoilers.
No spoilers, but give it a whirl. It's definitely... Oh, Ben just tweeted me, actually.
Okay.
What's Ben texting me here? Let's see. That's Ben. Yeah, because, you see, again, Ben Ennis, the idiot, right? These dumb questions. I passed him in the hallway, walking here, right? In the bridge connecting the two buildings.
Yeah.
Like, just me and him. Just me and him in there. Walk right. Hey, Ennis. Completely ignored me.
Ignored you. Walked right past.
Yep.
Wow.
What a prick.
What a prick. I did that to three different people I saw on the subway today that I knew just because I hate talking to people on the subway. Like, that's the worst thing in the world. It's like you see somebody on Monday morning and, like, if you have to engage in a conversation, like, honestly, I don't know if I made eye contact any morning. I don't know if I made eye contact with any of them, but it's like I'm going to sit there and everyone around is going to listen to our conversation. How's it going? Just like, oh my God. Yeah, like, wow, it's the last thing in the world.
Snowing today, huh?
I've actually like gotten off before to stop when it's not mine just because I don't want to engage in that conversation. It's like, oh, gotta go. I thought you worked that. Yeah.
I get it. Get the next train. Because I'm the same way.
It's the worst. I just want to listen to my iPod and like not talk to anyone and be miserable by myself.
It's like when you're on the subway and you've got your buds in your ears, yeah, right? It's a do not disturb sign, right? Don't disturb me.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, whether you're just a friend, an acquaintance, a viewer.
A homeless person trying to ask for money. Just
someone
have a sign or something.
Leave me alone.
It's a funners.
Hey, speaking of people you don't want to talk to. How are you, beautifuls?
Speaking of haircuts.
Yeah. Speaking of haircuts.
Well, you know, every 48 hours,
haven't talked
I got to get
soccer
it done.
Yet, so good.
Really?
Yeah, it's been 8 minutes and it's
these
just been
podcasts are always the better ones.
Yeah, they aren't they?
You got your winter newspaper boy hat on today?
I got a new haircut as well, but I didn't.
Did you?
I didn't shower this morning.
Wow.
I rushed. So I said, screw it. I just threw a hat on.
And showers aren't
good. I didn't
so
bathe
Sharp and
this
stinks
morning.
Later today.
Yeah, it's not good.
Somebody threw up a classic year-end footy show quiz from 2012.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
It's still available?
I think it was the one somebody has
Sky
it.
Sky Vault or something.
Sky Vault, yeah.
Sky Vault.
I believe it's the one that you and I were already at Sportsnet, and I think it's the one that I won for the first time because it was coming off the heartbreak of you winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that wasn't the olden one?
I don't think so. We'll have to check.
Yeah.
We'll retweet it. I just did.
Okay.
And Charmin did too.
Yeah, 2012 was the one we were already at Sportsnet. We went to the
2012
sport
year-end quiz, yeah. Because
we
went 2012. Okay. Yeah.
Remember that fateful year? Both of you took me aside and said, got some news. Leaving. No, you're not.
We'll be bleeping that later.
It's funny. You didn't give me the same
he's
reaction.
In trouble.
I told you. Yours was happy trails. I believe that was your reaction to me.
Finally done that.
Yeah. Good. Thank
Excellent.
God. Somebody took you. Amazing. Yeah. All right.
Long time ago
should
now.
We get to
when I told him I was leaving, he said I knew E-Talk would come calling.
I got to be out by 10:45. We got half
an
hour.
We got half an hour now to get through nine games. We mentioned before we're delaying the Watford Swansea to a special podcast tomorrow because you can't ignore that game.
Fitting.
Very important.
We asked if there's any Swansea or Watford fans out there.
Do you remember any on Twitter that you can recall? Swansea or Watford fans?
Certainly not Watford.
Maybe a Swansea fan, I'm thinking.
There's got to be.
I
can't think of one, though.
I met a Welsh guy last week, actually.
Really? Yeah. On the subway?
No, actually, he's a parent of one of my daughter's friends at school.
Oh.
Yeah.
He came and addressed you immediately with his football fandom?
No, he had no idea who it was.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. We just happened to be talking. And where are you from?
He's Welsh.
Hey, obviously, he goes, you're from Australia, right? Of course. Everyone does. And then he said, no, well, I'm Welsh. I said, well, my commiserations.
Have you ever thought that maybe you should make a mental effort in strengthening your accent so that you deter that?
I'm trying to lose my freaking accent because I have ambitions to host hockey.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No. He doesn't want to talk soccer anymore today because Liverpool Liverpool lost.
I tell you, your Nazem Kadri sit downs are going to be something special.
United beat Liverpool 1-0.
Mm-hmm. Smashing
their first
grab.
Shot on goal, and Rooney scores his fourth goal in four games. Is Rooney back?
He's on fire.
It's 5-4, I think, if you include
the
cups or something.
Right, sure.
But shocking. Look at that. With Rooney's success comes United's success, and now they're in a title race. Once again, saw that coming?
Were they ever out?
I don't think they were ever out, to be honest. And I don't think that they're actual title challengers either. But obviously taking 3 points on the road and where they are right now, watching Arsenal and Leicester just take share points with teams they shouldn't be, they are in the mix.
Yeah, including Leicester in that again. I mean, they are right there. And it's crazy to think that it continues because you just think week in, week out, okay, well, Leicester are going to fall down. And again, a draw wasn't ideal there. If they had won that game, because you always thought Arsenal was going to struggle at Stoke. So Leicester really had an opportunity and blew it. But Man United aren't complete enough. We know. I think even their fans are not selling themselves that they're in this title race, right? Yeah.
I think they're 7 points back, and they're not going to gain 7 on Arsenal, I don't think, and 6 back at City.
Yeah.
And City aren't going to drop that many points, I don't think. And United still just weren't very good.
No.
Watch that game. I mean, talking about Rooney, yeah, he's scoring again, which is great for his confidence, but his touch is still just dreadful, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many heavy touches in that game?
It's quite a few.
Yeah.
He can't find that balance between what he's lost in pace.
Yeah, precisely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hasn't been the same since Phil Bardsley knocked him out.
That was the moment, wasn't it?
Yeah. Bill Bardsley.
He didn't follow the concussion protocol.
I got that question wrong, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I thought you both get that one, actually, because that was one of the easy ones, I thought.
Yeah? Mm. I don't know. You had a good balance of questions. I actually kind of regret that we're not doing a quiz today.
Well, we could do.
That's why I was late, because I wasn't excited to be here.
Okay, let's see then. Who was missing from the Arsenal-Stoke game? 0-0.
Sanchez and Ozil.
Who is entertainment? I could have had that hour back. Yeah, that 90 minutes.
I had to come in for it, for crying out loud. After having watched Muse the night before, my ears are still ringing. And I had to work on Sunday and watch that game.
You went to Muse Saturday and then had to come
not
in
Muse,
on Sunday?
Not Muse, the club, the band Muse.
Is there a club called Muse?
There was a club called Muse, though, long ago. It's not around.
Dobby and I aren't, we don't go to clubs anymore. We're too busy getting haircuts.
Yeah, but my ears were ringing. It's a very loud concert.
Okay.
And anyway, I'm not complaining because I enjoyed the show on Sunday, but yeah, it wasn't a great match by any stretch. Although
there was a couple of bad ones.
You lose Ozil, you lose Sanchez again, obviously. Although he's close, and I think Ozil's a minor injury apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the best part about Sunday's games for me was Man United's players in the away end celebrating. I thought that was great. Phil Jones. There was a few others. There was just honestly like took you back to a simpler time in a way, not to get, like nostalgia, but it's like. In this day and age, right, when fans and players just seem so divided and so separate and players are getting, you know, more and more money and becoming bigger stars and the lifestyles are completely different. Mm-hmm. It just really reminded me of something that you would see way back in, you know, the 70s and 80s and something you would never see in North America as, you know, that kind of atmosphere and that kind of togetherness of the fans and players. It was really awesome to see.
Most fans have played more football than Phil Jones has. Recently,
not us,
right?
Not us though. We don't play enough football.
You play
charity tournaments.
You both play.
I couldn't get the team restarted for the winter. Nobody wanted to pay the premium to play under the dome.
I might be playing in an over 35 league actually. Maybe,
really?
Possibly.
I got enough grace. Can
I
you
finally,
get me in there?
I finally,
I don't have
I'm
the
old.
Pace.
Huh?
I don't have the pace, and I have enough grace. Can you get me on the list?
You're not, well, give a few years, what, another, what, no, 16
we're,
years?
We're going to lie, I said.
Oh, lie,
I've got
sorry,
enough
okay.
grace, and you, I don't have the pace.
You could
so
come
I
off
think
35,
I'm
for sure.
Fully suited to play. quick thing on the fandom, there's a great, I guess it's not a meme, but definitely a picture from the Everton-Chelsea match of, I guess it's John Terry kind of tracking back, and the, he's in front of a group of Everton fans that are all giving him the finger, and there's one guy isolated who looks like he'd be friends with your dad, and the look on his face is just priceless. it's making a good meme.
When Terry jumped up onto the advertisement hoarding or whatever after the goal, I thought he was going to get beat up by the Chelsea fans, possibly. I know they love him, but I mean, it was like... You know, it's been a pretty bad season. Yeah, this is getting dangerous here. I don't know. And you're celebrating an equalizing goal in a 3-3 match. You're sitting in like 14th in the league.
What a match, though, right? What a match.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
We talk about
game
the crap
of the weekend,
ones
for sure.
On Sunday, but man, that Saturday was outstanding. Mm. And Chelsea 3, Everton 3. Everton, it was offside, the JT goal. But I mean, if you watch it again at real time, I mean, how can the linesman really tell, with all honesty, whether there was a head there by, who was it? Oscar, I think it was.
Yeah, and honestly, with Everton, it's just, I was thinking about it, I was watching, they just keep doing it to themselves, and for all we talk about, I think we've had this discussion, you know, in moderation on this show about when can we start questioning Roberto Martinez and this team, because they play nice stuff, and this and that. And every year, okay, Everton, and they're on that cusp, and they finish 11th last year or whatever it was. And now they're sitting there again. And at the end of that game, I mean, first of all, you get the go-ahead goal. And the time that they added on because Funes Mori went into the crowd and did all that and got a yellow card is what ended up taking it to an 8th minute of added time, which there probably shouldn't have been. And just the way that they were playing that game at the end, they weren't taking the ball to the corner. They weren't hoofing it away when there's 20 seconds left. They gave the ball away needlessly in midfield, and it all led to that. And I just thought, how is Martinez not drilling this home with him? The same thing happened at Bournemouth a few weeks ago. They scored in the 95th minute, and then 30 seconds later, Bournemouth comes back and scores, and that is just not the signs of a strong, mentally tough team. And the amount of points you keep dropping, and all of a sudden, you are what you are at the end in the table. And for them to keep getting all this love, and Martinez is going to one day be... It's ridiculous. Yeah. I would be absolutely destroyed and pissed off as an Everton fan that this keeps happening, because it's not good enough to, oh, you're playing nice stuff. At the end of the day, you got to start getting results and holding those 3-2 leads and not giving away these goals and losing 2 points constantly.
They can't close out.
But he had such success at Wigan. You know that, you know, at some point it's going to turn around. You know, I mean, he turned away relegation so many times.
So many times, you know? Yeah. And I like him. I honestly, I'm not trying to hate on him. I think, you know, he does have a good positive impact on a lot of players, and they do play nice stuff. But ultimately, you have to look at the manager when this keeps happening and they're not doing the right things at the end of matches.
If games were 75 minutes long, they'd be top of the table. Mm. But they just can't close games out. They take leads and then they let the teams creep in. But to be honest, I think this is just who they are. I don't think that they're ever going to be a top four team. There might be a year like this where a couple of the big teams aren't as, you know, fit for the fight, and you've got an opportunity with an open door, as, you know, obviously with Leicester being up there now, taking that advantage of that opportunity. But I don't think that Everton are good enough to consistently be there regardless of who the boss is.
In this day and age, no. But this, like you said there, this year is the opportunity for someone.
Huge opportunity.
Usually there. And from what we've been led to believe about Martinez and what this team's done in the past and how it can look in cup games anyway, you'd think they should be in that race. But it's incredible how... And maybe there is pressure. I haven't read any Everton fan blogs, but every manager's mentioned to be under pressure, it seems, except for Roberto Martinez every year. Mm-hmm. And again, I like the guy too. You know, he's got great charisma.
His dresses so well.
Dresses great. His team plays good stuff, good attacking football. You know, the nerds out there, the tactics nerds love him for all he tries. He tries new things. I get that, but sometimes you got to just bunker down and suck it up, you know, grind out a result.
And not often you see him angry in his post-match comments, but he was this time. And to do with two things, he obviously said it was offside, which it was, and secondly, that he didn't know where an eighth minute came from of injury time. So you can see it, but you know, the anger, I think, stems from the fact that he knows that they've blown another great chance. They have 11 draws this season in 22 matches, half their games.
Yeah, too many.
They've only won 6. The only teams to win less games this season are the bottom 4.
That's incredible.
Villa, Sunderland, Swansea, Newcastle.
That is incredible, isn't it? Well,
and just think about those two games I mentioned, the one on the weekend and the one against Bournemouth. You don't concede 97th minute and 98th minute goals in those games.
You're in that European
4
discussion.
More points. You have 33 points. You're in 7th.
Yeah.
And instead you're you know, nipping at the heels of the top 4, top 6. Instead, you're way back in mid-table. 4 points, massive difference at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of the league leaders, or the team that was the league leaders, Leicester, they tied your Villa on the weekend.
Yeah.
1-1. Villa, 4 points in the last 2 games.
I tell you, this resurgence.
Could it happen?
Could be.
Could it?
Wait till Loic Remy and Emmanuel Adebayor show up at the end of January.
they're not the rumors, are they?
Bagging the goals.
Remy,
yeah, those are heavy.
Remy would be a great sign.
Adebayor rumored to Palace, too. Right?
Don't.
Yeah, I think that's the new one. That's the new front.
Yeah, but for 3 months.
Oh, yeah, he's a guy that can lift a team.
Well, I mean,
he might inspirational leadership on the field.
He might bag a couple goals. I don't think it'd be the worst signing for 3 months, to be honest.
No, I don't think so either.
If you sign him, you'll be going down from the league championship at the end of this season. That's how far you drop.
I said to start the season that Emmanuel Adebayor at Villa, I would welcome. I think he wanted $125,000 a week. A bit greedy. So that didn't happen. But that was with Tim Sherwood. I think if they started the season with Emmanuel Adebayor, they're not in the position they are in. But I thought Villa looked great. That was by far their their best performance great. Of the season.
They looked great.
They looked great.
They were moving the ball.
Barcelona looked great.
I think
Leicester okay. times have been great.
Here, allow me to Bayern
Munich.
Bayern
Munich
looked
great.
Great. Don't Villa? I mean, I guess when you're comparing to the previous 4 months.
You didn't want to vomit at halftime.
I'm the only
right?
person in this room that watched all 90 minutes of that match. And
I watched the last 20, actually.
I was disappointed because I was hoping to see, once again, abysmal Villa defending, and it right. wasn't great.
In the first half,
got a point.
It was great.
It wasn't great. There was a great involved in that passage.
In the first half, Leicester were by far the better team. They had the advantage of, I'd say, a fortunate goal. I thought Mark Bunn was unlucky to direct it into Okazaki's path.
After the great shot.
Then he stopped a penalty. Mark Bunn stopped a penalty.
Ex-Chef United, by the way.
I did know that. Was he there permanently, though? He's there on loan, I think.
He's there on loan, but he pretty much played for like a whole season.
How old's Mark Bunn?
Probably 33.
Like, is he that old?
Is he 33? Is Guzan been that bad? I know they won last week.
Keeping him out.
Guzan was,
he's been
was
that bad.
Pretty bad. And it was definitely one of the
hasn't helped him.
One of the fans' demands was to make a change.
The son of a good manager and a good club, you know. Oh, well, the fans want it, so I guess I'll do it then.
Yeah, basically. And he's injected some pace, too, with Carlos Hill getting a regular spot. But anyway, they had a penalty stop.
I put Mark Bunn in goal, they've injected some pace in the team.
Yeah, Leicester they probably have.
Leicester were the better team, had a penalty stop by pacey Mark Bunn. Second half, Villa were by far the better team and should have had a penalty. Robert Huth put his sharp German elbow right through the face.
Yeah, that was a penalty.
Oh, my God. But it's poor Libor Kozak.
He's an old-school defender. Yeah. They send the broadcast. Oh, he's such an old-school centre-half. He can't elbow you in the head and it shouldn't be a penalty.
Yeah, Roger East just doesn't want to be the one talked about yet. Here we are on this podcast across the Atlantic talking about him.
Still 9 points from safety.
Every time Gested comes on, I feel like he plays well and changes dynamic. Is he not?
Doesn't start well.
Why he doesn't start well?
For whatever reason, I think he just doesn't. I don't know if he has the longevity.
He's a perfect sub, but I mean, when you're a team like Villa that's struggling so bad for goals, it's kind of, you don't really have the luxury of bringing a guy on like that with 20 minutes to go if you don't have anything. You know what I mean? Like, he's better than what he's replacing all the time.
And he can handball and not get called for it.
Exactly. So.
He was fortunate there. But that was East just giving one back to them because they should have had a penalty before.
Where's Darren Bent these days?
Derby.
Derby, is he?
Yeah, he's scoring goals down there.
He's
such a championship player, yeah.
Wow.
In the summer, I think it was. Yeah. To be honest, like, I have considerably, I never lost hope. I mean, I know it's naive to think that they have,
I wouldn't say a realistic chance. Stupid to be the word, I think.
But you look at the way they've played recently, they still have 17 games left. If they can win 9 of those games.
Yeah, Bent has 1 goal this year in 15 games.
Brent's scoring goals down there.
He had 10 last year in 15 games. I knew he was good last year. And Derby's actually doing really well this year in the league. So I'm surprised that he's only got one.
We've got a big derby next weekend, right? Villa, West Brom.
There you go.
Right? And you got Hammers, tough
you
just one.
Get up for that.
Norwich, winnable. Liverpool,
winnable.
Stoke. Everton. It's not the toughest schedule coming up for Villa, but you're not going to get 9 points back, B. You're just not.
The dream is on.
I don't want to see Villa relegated.
No.
Of course not.
How bad would it be for the Premier League? It doesn't matter anymore because it's global. But if both teams in the Northeast and Villa go down.
It would be a shame.
Wouldn't it be?
It would be a shame.
Even if one of the teams in the Northeast, which it's going to happen.
Send Norwich and Swansea down.
Right. But the Swansea shot
Swansea getting hammered
today
in the podcast. Eh? Who supports them?
Yeah, but they did it to themselves. They shouldn't have let your boy Gary Monk go.
I know.
When they did.
Monk in you.
I'm
surprised that they let Shelvey go as well.
Something happened there, obviously, because
strange.
The minute Curtis comes in, he drops him.
And then he played great against...
he's a really good player.
West Ham on the weekend for Newcastle. I mean, both goals.
He's such a Newcastle player that he looks good. And, you know, some players...
I miss that during
some players
the week.
Look good in a certain kit.
Yeah.
In any sport, really, but he looks good in that Newcastle strike.
He was very good. McLaren praised him after the match as well.
McLaren was bubbling after the match.
He was.
Is it because?
Those guys, they were quality players. I want to just kiss them all.
Is it? You say he looks great in that shirt. Is it because he looks like a guy you'd see in Newcastle on a Saturday night at 4 a.m.
yes,
wearing a shirt?
Exactly.
Or a guy you'd avoid. Stripes. Looks like a guy that could be on Oz or something.
I think
I loved Oz. What a great show!
Oh, it was great.
Oh, amazing.
Don't you know?
Schillinger and Shelvey.
Schillinger. Whenever I see Schillinger, what was his name again? The actor?
J.K. Rowling.
It's Harry Potter.
That's so amazing. JK Rowling. That Harry Potter reference.
JK
Rowling.
Hang on. No, it's something like that, man.
Don't you know the fallout with Alan Curtis and John Joe Shelby?
What's that?
The actual fallout between Alan Curtis and John Joe Shelby. He's a massive Harry Potter fan and he's terrified.
That could be what it
JK
is.
J.K. Simmons, I'm sorry.
Because he looks like Simmons.
J.K. Simmons.
Well, it was a rough week for him, right? Obviously, with Alan Rickman dying.
Yeah. Yeah, tough one. Right? Blame Shelby.
Did you guys see, what's that, Whiplash?
Whiplash, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was a bastard in that.
Yeah.
That's kind of J.K. Rowling, the guy in Whiplash?
J.K. Simmons. Sorry.
Whiplash is a great movie.
J.K. Rowling. J.K. Simmons, yeah.
I saw Joy on the weekend. It was pretty good.
Okay. Movie review. Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence, she plays the woman who invented the no-ring mop.
It's all the same people as Silver Linings Playbook. Like,
I haven't seen that either.
A lot of the same actors and movie, like the same director.
You were made to watch that with The Last Girlfriend, weren't you?
I really like Jennifer Lawrence.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
I used to not be able to stand her, but she's come around.
Well, you mentioned the word joy. I was telling Dobby, today is officially considered the most depressing day of the year.
Why is that?
Well, this podcast for starters. Yeah. But I don't know why. There's some, I don't know.
We've talked more about Villa and Everton than we did about any of the big clubs. So
I know.
You don't get that on every podcast.
January Leicester, by 18th. The way. Leicester, Morris and Vardy. What's that?
January 18th.
Apparently, yeah.
How was that?
I don't know.
Is it the shortest?
I heard Jeff Blair talk about it off the top of his show this morning.
Well, it must be true then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go back to the reason that...
I'm saying Leicester, Mahrez and Vardy, mm-hmm. no goals, no assists in 5 games. Mm. Yeah, they're still earning points.
Yeah. Well, they hadn't conceded in 4 games before that one against Villa. It was
they'd only scored...
They're not scoring.
1-4.
Dower, a lot of nil-nils.
If you had told me that Villa would go 27 months between winning games and...
Yeah.
That Leicester would go 4 with and score just 1, I would have told you no way. Villa would go 27 stretches multiple times.
It's amazing that they're still... joint top of the table with how the last 5 matches have gone, because they've won 1 and that was a smash and grab at Spurs where they should have lost and they were outplayed pretty badly. Obviously the 1-0 at Liverpool, 0-0 with Man City, 0-0 with Bournemouth, 1-1 with Villa. Like, the results are now starting to dip, kind of what we thought. They have 4 points in their last 5 matches and somehow they're still tied for the top because everyone else is dropping points. It's incredible. And you think if they can somehow get out of this dip and pick up the points again, their next 5 matches in the league are huge. Home to Stoke, home to Liverpool, at Man City and at Arsenal back-to-back. Mm. So they play away at the 2 teams who they're challenging for the title with. Yeah. Yeah. And Spurs as well.
Can I say it? We're going to learn a lot about Leicester the next few
weeks.
There
you go. Yeah.
Said that before.
I said this on Central a couple weeks ago. Nobody got it, obviously. That Leicester are playing like a team fully aware of their position. They're really playing like a team that know what they have to lose.
For
and
sure.
I think you look at that Villa game in particular, that last 10 minutes. I mentioned Villa were great and considerably better in that second half. But if I'm a Leicester fan, amazing ride. But you got to be concerned by the lack of urgency. I mean, they didn't rush to throw the ball in. They didn't pressure Villa off of it. They were fully content. You know, once they conceded the equalizer, okay, we'll try and burn them on the counter. Vardy had a chance to win it. He'd put it over, put it off the bar, I believe. But I mean, they don't have that actual urgency. They're playing like a Jose Mourinho team.
You can't blame them, and you can't be surprised by it. And honestly, it's well and good to say that they're in the title race and want to do that. But their goal is to finish top 4.
Yeah,
right.
I know
their goal is to finish top 4. So point away, they still have that. You know, 7-point gap over the 5th place team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want to do. They know they're not going to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's great in dreamland to think that that's possible, but let's be realistic here. Yeah. Finishing top 4 is very possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible. And so maybe they're thinking that long term, and equally as astonishing that mm-hmm. they could be in the Champions League.
Wow.
And get that money, right? And get that prestige, maybe be able to hold on to Vardy and Mahrez for another season.
Danny and Craig, they were saying, after watching City beat Palace 4-0, who Palace haven't scored in, what is it, 5 games now? Winners in 5 as well? Despite what Partey says, but they're saying that, you know, injuries aside, if both Arsenal and City stay healthy, City's going to win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to argue that. They are still the deepest team. They are still, their 11 is still the best team in the league. I still have to go with Arsenal because you've got to stick with your predictions, right? Mm-hmm. But it's going to come down to those 2 teams, isn't it? It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Right now, the odds, pretty much Man City's even money. Arsenal's about 8-5. Yep. And then Leicester is now third choice at 13-1. which for a while they weren't.
13-1
Yeah, only 13-1 now. Spurs 16-1 Man United 17-1
Wow. What about Spurs? I haven't mentioned them. They won again.
Somebody asked that actually. Michael Colmore tweeted us that just now.
Did
Spurs
he?
Chance at the title right now. And what's the best storyline this season?
I think they're still a little bit raw to win the title.
Way
but
too
top
raw.
Four is very much a possibility.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they look good against Sunderland, but
they lose
so
to Leicester last week, you know, yeah. and it wasn't so great, right? But if they can, again, it's health, right? I mean, Dele Alli's been a wonderful breakthrough story. We know about Harry Kane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the veterans there as well. You know,
Min's been playing well. They've been, I think, overachieving.
Stingiest team in the Premier League now with only 18 goals against.
Yeah.
Man United have now given up 20.
I remember talking on this podcast about them being one of the most unappealing, unattractive teams to watch, but they've shaken that tag.
For sure. Even Tom Carroll's like really emerging as a
yeah,
good
he is.
Player, isn't he?
Pochettino loves to give young guys chances.
Yeah.
And they earn it. They keep the spot.
Yeah. So I wouldn't rule Spurs out yet for the, well.
For top four.
Top four for sure.
Yeah.
I would, in fact, probably favor them to finish in the top four at this point.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Over Man United, yeah? I'm into that. I could see that.
Well, it's so difficult. I mean, how far is Leicester going to fall? Right? That's
the question. Yeah.
I think it's unfortunate. I think Leicester are going to finish fifth or sixth. I think, you remember a few years Villa was in this position?
Yeah.
In February,
it's
they were
always
second place.
Tough when it comes right down
O'Neill
to
left,
the end. Right? You know?
And the fans rejoiced.
Mm. Yeah, fans rejoiced. All the sixth place finishes. Not good enough.
Oh, boy.
Elsewhere, Southampton beat West Brom 3-0. Charlie Austin arrives, eh?
Yeah, interesting that. Yeah.
Good deal, $4 million, right?
Guess he's out of contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
when did that go down?
I think on Friday.
Yeah, I think it was Friday, yeah. Saturday morning is when I heard about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
really? Only $4 million too?
Was that a contract?
Yeah, it's a
right,
contract.
Right, but they were, remember the start of the season, they were holding firm on 15 they wanted.
Yeah.
Four is quite
that
cheap.
Might mean they think that Pella might be on the way out.
That's what the talk is, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Should be a shame.
And Bournemouth meet Norwich 3-0. Let's go through some questions here, shall we?
Sure. Here. Just did that one.
Yeah, did that one there.
You're going to, if you haven't mentioned already, you got to mention the haircut one because we
can't. No, we did.
We did.
You weren't here yet. Yeah.
You were late to remember because you didn't anticipate.
Brock Cameron asked about Villa having a chance. We already kind of talked about that. Oh, Toronto FC tweets. How do you think TFC should line up this season?
It's a good question.
I know about two players.
No, it's a good question. I mean, the midfield looks pretty tasty, but you just don't know what formation, right? Because last year they tried three or four formations, and is Bradley going to stay in that number 10? Is Will Johnson going to be considered a box-to-box type player or more of a holding player? Where does Cheru fit in that case?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many question marks. The defense looks set, right? Bedoya at right. Then you got Drew Moore, who's going to slot in there beside, well, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Pacui? Is it going to be Johnson?
That's a good question.
Oh, sorry, Johnson. Josh Williams, sorry.
Yeah.
And of course, Morrow at left back. It's not a bad looking back four. And when was the last time a TFC observer said that?
We're not going to talk about Watford. If you're going to move on to TFC talk already?
I wasn't moving on. obviously, no one's helping me here.
I've got no idea.
There's another shoe to drop here, I think, at TFC. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
just, you don't really see how they all plug in. But there's depth. And with all with Copa qualifying, you're going to need depth this year, TFC. Mm-hmm. Because once again, you know, the MLS is going to be dramatically affected by international clubs.
I didn't look at that schedule.
Yeah, eight
into the
games
summer.
On the road again to start the season.
Not
it's
ideal.
It's like, I know it's a stadium thing and weather and this and that, but like the season starts March 6th and they don't play at home until May 7th. 2 months. Yeah. Like that is such a tough thing
Although
for them
last
to do.
Year they actually, the record wasn't too bad.
It wasn't
right?
too bad.
Was it,
I think,
was it 500? Or
I think there? They came back with like 10 points from those.
Yeah.
I think they were one game under 500.
Three wins,
like that.
Four losses and a draw or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a tough start, but they just got to get the stadium right. I play hockey with a buddy that works on that construction crew, and I said, how do you guys like work through the winter? Is that why you have to leave the deadline so long for the cold days? He says, it's not the cold days. They'll weld and do everything in minus 20, but it's the wind. So they have to account for such a, you know, losing so many days because of the wind, they can't get the cranes up. But I don't know if it's worth the wait. And
it will be worth the wait.
Can I just say with this inside source that I have, he said that as I asked about the field, are you guys responsible for touching the field? Because he'd made a reference to it being torn up or something. And he said, no, we just got to put the turf in. They take care of the grass. I said, what? You got to put the turf in? He's like, yeah, the end zones
are going to be turf so that they can put the they can roll the seats over top of them. Okay. But the grass is still slated to go in. Pff, I give it until June.
Man,
give it until June.
So
there's
many
no
questions with
way
that still.
They play football and football in the same week or within 2 weeks even.
And there's some dates where there's like a few days in between. Like days.
Shocking.
Like 3 or 4 days.
Was there? I thought that there wasn't.
I believe there is. There's I forget.
Assume
there's
one
day
even
in
six.
Summertime, I believe. A Friday, Monday type thing.
Shocking.
Sure of it.
No way.
I don't know. I mean, the fact that they even have like smaller end zones than is actually generally allowed in CFL just is laughable.
I didn't see that framework. They're playing
tiny end zones like a
shorter than 25.
Shorter than they should be.
Oh, wow.
What? That's crazy.
So bizarre.
Be well, fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Anyway, we're out of time, I guess, because Dobby's got to leave. 10:45.
I hate this. This
what if
you
came
be,
in on time?
I know, but this needs to be like established early on that you're like leaving at 10:45.
It was. Had you been
here at 10.
Star, you would have heard Tom tell me that.
I don't like your like last second meeting announcement.
Well, what else do we got? Yeah. What else do we got here? What else do you want to talk about? We got 3 minutes.
Bits and bobs.
I just looked. I already did mine about so the TTC. We've done enough non-soccer related stuff today. It's been pretty ridiculous.
Any more questions coming through from the moronic audience?
I think Ben Ennis has gone for his mid-morning nap.
Do you know team captains of Bournemouth and Swansea? All right.
Michael Elphick.
That's Tommy Elphick?
Tommy Michael Elphick was an actor, I think.
Tommy Elphick. Really, J.K. Rowling knows Michael Elphick. That's good.
I was going to make the Voldemort reference for Shelby, and then you mentioned J.K. Rowling. That's quite fitting that our chemistry is... once again, superb.
We've got some FA Cup reaps this week.
Oh, yeah.
You said that last week, but actually it is this week.
Yeah, that's right.
Wickham and Villa.
Yeah.
Tuesday, isn't it?
Exeter City, Liverpool.
Oh, boy, that'll be fun.
Spurs-Leicester.
Spurs-Leicester again, yeah.
Yeah.
How does it work with the gate when they go back? So Exeter goes to...
split it, right?
50-50 split?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 50-50.
Oof, that is very favorable to any of those small teams that get
huge,
big rounds.
It's enormous. That's why a lot of these smaller clubs want to get the
play
road,
for a draw.
They,
yeah,
want the, you know, they want the road date to start with.
Right.
Right. So
50-50.
And it's better off, like you said, it's better off drawing at home than actually winning at home, which is makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm. Bristol City and West Brom is on Sportsnet World tomorrow, the replay, Tuesday. And then Wednesday is Leicester and Spurs.
Yeah. And that's on Sportsnet at 3 o'clock, right?
Yeah, Sportsnet World.
Yeah. Sportsnet World.
All right.
Well, I guess that's probably about it then.
Cool.
Again, most depressing day of the year. If it wasn't the start of the podcast, it sure is now.
It is now.
Well, make that phone call if you need to. Speak to a friend. We apologize.